love that song. If you would take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, and we're going to read verse 26. Genesis chapter 50, and we're going to read verse 26. Genesis 50, 26. And if you would go ahead and stand as I read the Word of God this evening, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26. And if you would, if you'd read that with me tonight, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26. Ready? So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. I do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you for the message that we heard this morning. And I pray that you'd help us to be able to take the Word of God that we heard and apply that to our lives so we can live better lives for you, maybe reach more people with the gospel. But Lord, we need you to meet with us tonight. This morning is history. This morning is in the past. But if you would come and meet with every heart that is here, every person that's listening online, open up their hearts and open up their ears to be able to hear, to where we can understand the scriptures that you have for us. And I just pray that you'd bless and you'd guide. And please fill Preacher with your power as he brings a message to us tonight so that you can use him to be a benefit to us so we can be edified as a body of Christ. I just pray that you'll bless. We will give you the honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, as you look there in Genesis chapter 50, of course, tonight, the message tonight's going to be unique. It's not going to be a message that you'll walk away saying, boy, Pastor was really funny tonight. No, that was supposed to be a joke because I'm never funny. Anyway, I got Brother Kevin to laugh. That's okay. And it is a message that, of course, I want to deal with what the Bible does say about things in which choices that we make. As we, you know, what's right after death? Now, not what's right after death or what is right or wrong after death. You know, many people don't plan for the future, let alone for their death. It's something we all know is coming one day, we need to be prepared. I believe that as a parent, as a spouse, I want a will which I have. I need to update it. It's been a couple of years, but it's something that will take some of the load off of my family members and my children and my wife. That if something were to happen to me, my wants or my desires are already written down so that they can know them. And many of you, if not all of you in here tonight, we've had to deal with this at some point or another with a loved one, with a family member, and it's been difficult, especially not knowing what to do. Now, as Christians, I get it and I understand as we take the view, let the dead bury the dead. We don't give much thought of our death because we know as a Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. We're in heaven and we're rejoicing with him. But what is the right decision to do? And as I go through some of the questions that I've been asked in my life, of course, as I deal with the cemetery that our church owns, I have dealt with other families that are not associated with our church, but have either looked at purchasing a plot, have purchased a plot, or just not really sure, you know, looking and searching. And I've had some questions. I've had some questions from church people. I've had some questions from our own teenagers over the years as a youth pastor. And in our Bible class, of course, as the kids would try to get me on a rabbit trail. I love rabbit trails, and I love to try to answer some of their questions that they would ask. And but some of them had to deal with some tough questions. And those two of those questions I want to try to deal with tonight. And let me just say, before I get started, I know that there might be people in here tonight with a view one side or the other. And in both of these, the Bible is not dogmatically clear in either one. So I just want to go and I want to show you what the Bible says and leave that decision up to you. I have my own personal opinion, and I'm sure you have your own opinion, but we'll look at what Scripture says, and ultimately this decision will be between you and God, because the Bible is silent concerning this specific action, and it does provide God's attitude towards the body of a Christian. You know, what do we do? Of course, many of the questions I've had asked to me is, Pastor, do you think a Christian should be cremated or buried? And that's a tough question to answer. That's as you look at Scripture, we see in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26, it said, "So Joseph died, being 110 years old. Then they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Now, while Joseph was buried in accordance in Egyptian standards by him being embalmed, there is no indication that in this procedure that God was upset that this was not an unacceptable practice for God's people, for Joseph, and Joseph's body was being preserved for the intent of it traveling all the way back to be buried in the land of Canaan, back to his land. And so it seems to be that there to be overwhelming evidence that indicates God's desire that when it comes to the deceased, that we treat it with honor. And that should be understandable. You say, "Preacher, that's just a no-brainer. Of course we're going to treat our loved ones and our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ with honor or with respect." But as you look at the body of Moses' body in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5 and 6, it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth-peor, and no man knoweth his sepulcher," that's his grave, "unto this day." And so Moses' body was buried on Mount Nebo by God. God could have burned him. God could have sent fire. God could have, like he caused the bush to burn, could have burned Moses. But he decided to bury him instead there in the land of Moab. But as you look at even Jesus' body, Jesus' body was prepared for burial according to the Jewish custom, the tradition there. There's no indication that God was displeased with this action or this method as well. And so as you say, well, which one is applicable to us today? Which should we do? We've got to keep in mind, first we've got to keep Romans chapter 14, verse number 4 and 5. I know that there's those here in this auditorium that have both buried loved ones and have cremated loved ones. I've got family members that have both have happened that too, and so it's something that I struggle with, because I know throughout Scripture you'll see that there's a method of God's people being buried, but when you look at the reality of the financial cost and burden today, I don't want to be a financial burden to my family. I don't want to have them to come up with the cost. Being a pastor and dealing with some of the funeral homes, I've had a little bit more insight of the cost and sometimes the upcharges that go into playing on the heartstrings of loved ones. And of course, you know, don't you want this for your loved one? And I've many times warned people saying, okay, they're going to try to upsell you. They're going to try to get you to buy the premium package because you love this individual. But you've got to be very careful when it comes to that. But when you look at apples to apples, of course, common sense would say the most economical thing would to cremate. But when we keep that in mind, oh, what's right or what's wrong, and there's those in here that maybe have done both, keep this in mind. Romans 14, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth." Who's your master? The Lord. So you stand before the Lord, accountable for our actions. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We've got to keep that in mind when we look at the question. And the only reason I'm talking about this tonight is because I've been asked several times. I get this question at least every year from someone, and I wanted to just look at what the Bible says in this topic because it is a hard question to answer. And so everyone has to come up with their own decision, but let's look at what the Bible says to help us in that decision. As of course we looked at the body of Moses, even Jacob testified that the Hebrews buried the bodies of the deceased. In Genesis chapter 49, verse number 30, it says, "In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham brought with the field of Ephron the Hittite from for a possession of a burial place. There they buried Abraham, Sarah, and his wife, and they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, and there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and the cave that is therein from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people." Even in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 33, we see that even the kings of Israel were all buried out of a sign of respect. And so as you look at the preference on God's part to honor the bodies of people by burying them, we look at in Scripture at the few occasions that bodies were deliberately burnt. In 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse number 16, it says, "And Joshua turned and turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burnt them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words." King Joshua dug up the bones of all of the false prophets and he burned them as a sign of contempt. And so you say, okay, well that in that action, that was something that was supposed to be a negative thing. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, God forbade his people from conducting human sacrifices. Of course, going into the land, making sure that they don't follow the practices of those around them of offering up sacrifices, human sacrifices, which meant burning victims alive. And that's something you look throughout history, even in remote places of the world today, you think, how can that still go on? But yet, Leviticus 18:21, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord." Now, most people who opt for cremations do it for a financial reason. Of course, we look in Scripture, Christians were buried, God's people were buried, God buried people that passed away in his presence, and burning in the Bible also was a culture or a tradition of pagan religions and pagan people. They would burn their bodies. But One thing we've got to keep in mind, the decision that is made of people cremating today here in the United States, as a little child, I never heard of cremations. Every funeral I ever went to, there was a casket, there was a body, there was a grave site, there was a headstone, there was a place where I remember as a child, but in the last 20 years, of course, the cost of living, of course, everything has just doubled and increased. And so those decisions aren't made out of family members or people that said, you know what, I'm going to stick it to this person. And it's done not in that mentality or that mindset, but it's from a financial cost. And with that, I understand and I totally agree. Because the Bible does say in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 20, let's see what the Bible says, because I want people to feel at ease in their decision, and it's a decision that they have to make. I've had people ask me point blank, preacher, what should I do? And I've stood there and I'm thinking, okay, I understand that, you know, the practice that we see in the Bible is to be buried, but I also don't want this individual to go $10,000 in debt or more to be realistic in our day and age and see what the Bible says. Because I want you to understand what scriptures say. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 20, it says, all go unto one place. All are what? Of the dust. When a body is cremated, it is turned into dust. What happens to a body in a casket over 100 years or 200 years? It turns to dust. Guess what? They're both dust. When God resurrects, and this is a question that I had a conversation with another pastor about 2 weeks ago about this very same thing. When the dead in Christ arise, God is going to resurrect everyone who's passed away at the resurrection before those who are alive. God is going to bring back, guess what, those that are in the ocean that were that have been dissolved or eaten by fish, those that have been buried, or even the Christians that we talked about this morning, as Nero would burn Christians to light his streets of his kingdom. Those bodies have been burned. They were theoretically cremated. But yet God in his power, and his, as we've talked on Wednesday nights, in God's ultimate power, he's going to bring back somebody who's been buried, someone who's cremated. Why? Because the Bible tells us that one day we're all going to become the same thing. What we were created, dust. And with that, we cannot judge someone. And for some people, this is a very touchy subject because this is a decision that they have made for their loved one, or they feel to be a mark against Christianity by following a pagan practice. And I don't believe that to be true today in the sense of a financial standpoint and as a Christian. But I do believe that as we look at honoring a body, I want my children to know this. Children, kids, if I ever die and you cremate me and you put me on the television, I'm going to come back and haunt you. I do want my children, whether I'm buried, I'm cremated, I'm not going to be here. I don't care. I'm going to be with the Lord, but I do want whatever is left over. I want it to be buried. And that's something that has become very popular, or very standard or a normal practice. The last few plots that we have sold at our cemetery have not been burial plots, but have been cremation plots, where family members have made the decision to purchase a several hundred dollar urn as opposed to thousands and thousands of dollars for a casket. And then a vault, and then a bigger spot, and they've purchased a spot where they can place the remains of their loved one with still enough space for a headstone that they can come, and they have a place, they have a memorial, they have a place that they can come with their loved one. And I just want my children not to place me up on the mantle, but in knowing that, looking at why it's done in America the way it's done now. There's crematoriums popping up all over the place. And it's been a question that maybe it's never been an issue for you. Maybe you've never even thought about it. Maybe you've just always said, "Oh, I just made my mind up years ago. This is what's going to happen." But I want to just share this because it has been on someone's mind enough to ask me, and I've been asked several times. And so I want to just look at what the scripture said. And so since God created the body, sustained it, he should be the one who chooses how his creations are treated. And so with that, you always see that with his people, as God buried them, they were in the burial, there's a respect there. And we need to keep that in mind as we deal with our loved ones, or we make that decision. Many have, I've dealt with families over the years, and they said that so-and-so wanted to be cremated. That was their wish, and they've granted their wish, and I've encouraged them to do so, whether to be buried or to be cremated. In that, we also come to an important decision, a decision that I had to make in my life. And that is on my driver's license. Don't tell me I lost it already. On my driver's license, when you get your driver's license, I remember when I got my permit at the age of 15. And then when I turned 16, they asked me if I wanted to be an organ donor. I've had so many. One of our teenagers asked years ago, "Should we be organ donors? What if our organ goes in a lost person?" And this is the way a teenager's mind works. You know, think, let's stump the teacher. Is my organ going to be raptured out of their body if they're alive at the time of the rapture? That's a good question. How do you answer that one? You know, they don't teach you this kind of stuff in Bible college. But when you look at whether an individual should be an organ donor or not, what do you do? Should I? There's both arguments on both sides, and I know that because as a 16-year-old, when I was asked that question, immediately I went, "No, God gave them to me, and I don't want my organs going anywhere else, or someone for the love of money, pull the plug on me and say, 'Well, he's a goner. We need his parts.'" And so I had all of those excuses that I would tell myself of why I never wanted to be an organ donor. But I heard a preacher give a little lesson on the fact that God has always been for life. God is the giver of life, and God has commanded us that we should not take an innocent life. We should not be a taker of life. And if I can save a life as my last action here on earth, I want to do that. I want to be a part of that. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 13. As we look at burying of the body, what do we do there with donating organs? You know, the principle concerning the human body is that after death, the body which God made should be treated in such a way that it's honoring and glorifying to God. Which decision do you think would be glorifying and honoring to God? I've had people ask me, "Should I be an organ donor?" I don't know. That's a decision you're going to have to make. And of course, I'll walk them through it. And of course, they've got to make that decision for themselves. And I'll explain that in just a little bit. But while our bodies belong to God and they're temples of the Holy Ghost, our lives should be totally surrendered to what God wants us to do. I don't know. What does God want you to do? In the area of making decisions for your life, for your family, for your future, even the future that involves leaving the decisions up to your loved ones, or whether you plan ahead and make those decisions ahead of time. We should do our part to live a sacrificed life for whatever God wants for us. John 15, 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When you read that verse, we can only reasonably assume that if we were to become an organ donor and to donate a heart, a lung, a kidney, whatever, a liver, whatever might be available, it would not be displeasing to the Lord. Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so years ago, I was probably around 25 years old. The next time I went and I got my license updated, and they asked me, would you like to become an organ donor? The Holy Spirit kind of convicted me. I said, yes, I would like to become an organ donor. Now, if you've got a conviction and a feeling, I don't want to, I'm not here. So again, remember when I started this sermon tonight, there's no definitive answer. And this is not an area in which is clear. Of course, being an organ donor, this is not a question that people have had to ask all throughout the ages. Just in the last 50, 60 years, as organs were first started to be transplanted, in the very beginning of it, this would have been unheard of 200 years ago, 300 years ago. And so with that, the Bible's in unclear in this area. But since the embalming, as Joseph was embalmed as in Egypt, and his organs were removed so his body could be embalmed and transported and disposed of in another fashion, to give them to use to extend someone else's life, I can't see how that would be a bad thing. And I had one of our bus teenagers years ago asked me this question. He said, "Well, Brother Ruck, if my organ goes into a lost person, kind of like saying, and they sin, do I have a part in that sin?" And I said this, and I feel like to extend the life of a lost person, so they may have a greater chance to hear the gospel, I'll gladly donate any organ, whether they be saved or lost. So for them to have the opportunity to hear the gospel, for them to live a little bit longer, because those that are on the waiting list for organs are sick, and to be able to give them years of life, hopefully, if they haven't already heard the gospel, maybe through my sacrifice, it's not my sacrifice, I'm already gone, I'm not using it anymore, but to think that someone else could have a length of life. One of the most touching pictures I have ever seen on the internet. I was looking at it this afternoon, almost started tearing up. Was a man probably in his 60s with his arms around a dear couple. And this couple, a shorter father and a mother, the father is just weeping and sobbing uncontrollably on this man's chest. And the woman is just choked up, and both of them is a hemostat, the stethoscope. Sorry, and both of them have stethoscopes on, and they are listening to this man's heart. And the only reason they care about this man's heart is it was the heart of their son, and they're hearing his heart beat in this man's chest. What greater gift could someone give to someone else than life? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Of course, this young man never knew this gentleman. They probably were never friends. But I know one thing, that gentleman and that dear couple will be friends for the rest of their lives. Romans 14:5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Whether You say, well, preacher, I agree with you. I think that everyone should be an organ donor. Or whether you sit there like I did as a young man for years, convinced that's what I should do. That you're not obligated. Just because I think that I'm teaching this tonight or preaching this tonight, and I'm not saying that everyone has to switch if you're not. And if you're sitting there saying, well, I just don't see it that way, I totally agree with you. Because everyone, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. For me, the Lord dealt with me in one way. The Lord may be leading with you in another. Whether or not we should be obligated to donate our organs, since to save another's life, it would also not be wrong to refuse it. And so again, to answer this question, there is no definite answer. Whether, whether you should donate an organ to save someone's life if you were to pass away suddenly, or to refuse to do so, it is not doctrinally, scripturally grounded in the Bible. And so with that, each individual will have to make a decision based upon asking for prayer, asking for wisdom, asking for what God wants you to do. And in 2020, as it's commonly been a practice over the years of cremation, understanding that whether you're buried or whether you're cremated, we're all going to end up in the same place. We're all going to turn to dust. And God, in His infinite power, in His infinite wisdom, will be able to bring back every bit of dust, to bring back those that He has raptured at the time of the rapture. And so with that, that decision's got to be based upon what God would have you to do, what God would want for you. God has always been for life. And when it comes to the dead, now the Bible does say, let the dead bury the dead. And of course, as Christians, we don't, we view death as a graduation. Of course, we know that life after death is in the presence of God if we're saved. And therefore, there's those that they spend their whole life trying to communicate with the afterworld and trying to live their whole life worried in fear about what's going to happen. We know as Christians that when we die, we're going to be with the Lord. Amen? So that way we don't have to live, praise the Lord, we don't have to live by fear of wondering what's going to happen in the future. If you've ever... Winchester rifles. Mrs. Winchester, after her husband passed away, she was so afraid of death. And if you've ever looked at their mansion, the Winchester mansion, one of the craziest houses you will ever see. Stairs going nowhere, doors everywhere, almost just two or three staircases in every room. She had construction project after somehow she thought if there was always something going on to keep her busy, she would never pass away. And out of spending all of those thousands and thousands of dollars because she was so afraid of death. You know, as a Christian, we don't have to fear death. So if I make a decision and if I say, you know, I want to be buried, and my children or my wife decides to cremate me because it's cheaper and she wants to go on a cruise, well, good for her. I hope she has a great time. Because God's going to bring me back one way or the other. But one thing I do want to point out is every time you see that God deals with the death, Moses, Jesus, that burial, there is a honoring of the body. And if buried or cremated, there should be a honoring of the body. And with that, I hope my children that even if I'm cremated, you'll bury me. You won't let me dump over and get vacuumed up and not be there in the living room. I hope that never happens. And so with that, I hope you honor my body. But as you go through life, these are the decisions people have to make. And I only say that because it has happened. And I want to try to share with you some of the decisions that we have to make in this life. Some are very hard. Some we say, oh, I don't know what to do. And in this, I don't want anybody to ever, I don't want to judge you for a decision you make or you to judge me for a decision I make, because this is not a definite yes or no in the Bible. But like I said, we go back to Romans 14:5. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What does God want you to do in that area? And then do it. And whatever decision you make, do it with honor, do it with respect, and do it with the love that God had for his own. As we understand throughout Scripture that God loves us more than we can imagine. And every day that I live, I'm so grateful that God loves me and he saved me. Some reason, I'll never understand why he saved me. But some reason, he loves me enough. Beyond all of my faults, all of my failures, all of my sin, he's died on the cross so that I could live for him. And I want to make every decision count. I want to make every decision the best that I can. So whether I'm alive or even after I'm gone, I want to make a decision that's glorifying to him. And if it be that I could somehow save someone else's life or give length to life someday, I hope I can. Now, I hope I don't die prematurely to where I want to live a long life. I want to live for the Lord. But if the Lord calls me home, I want to be a blessing to as many people as I can. So therefore, I want to make that decision. And for myself, I have made that decision to become an organ donor. But again, for years, I said, you know what? God gave him to me. Of course, I started feeling, Lord, I'm being selfish here. I need to, but in that, you may not feel that way, and that's okay. Let every man be persuaded, be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for